brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop. Right on.
Hey, man, what's your name?
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
Good morning, Jacksonville. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, with First Thursday Jacksonville, and I'm president of Harvest Intervention Services. I'm in the studio this morning with Dr. Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League, and joining us on the line is Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville and Anchor Global Business USA out west still, on the west coast, Seattle, Los Angeles, somewhere over there.
Out west.
Good morning to our listeners. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
It. How many miles is it to Seattle, Washington? What is that, Larry, about 3,500?
Close, about 2,900.
About 29, okay.
Yeah.
It's a little short plane ride, you know how it is. Hey, good morning, Jacksonville, and happy Saturday, Duval. It's a great day to be alive and well. It's just so much going on locally around the country, and I'm sitting here glancing over at the news this morning, and this pastor is defending giving his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini. Man, that's a heck of a present, isn't it, Doc?
What kind of preacher is he?
They didn't tell me what kind of preacher he is, but he must be a good one.
If he his wife must be a good one.
If he wants to shower his wife, he can shower his wife with a gift.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Hey, Larry, all I know, if it had not been for the Lord on my side.
Are you finished with all your shopping, Dr. Danforth? No. Anyway, Larry, he was there. You go ahead, Larry.
Neither am I. So, you know, it's a good thing, I guess. I still got a few dollars in my pocket. It won't be by the, Christmas. So. But anyways, that's a whole other deal. Happy holidays, everybody, and season greeting. We're blessed to be with you and joining you guys on the air this morning. And, you know, we're going to have a Christmas program next Saturday. Just really affording all our listeners the opportunity to call in and say happy holidays, season's greetings, Merry Christmas, whatever your deal is. So tune in next Saturday and be a part of the show. This week, we're going to talk about a number of things. Charmin and Doc, there was some information aside from the pastor buying his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini. The A federal judge in Texas has, struck down the Obamacare. Did you guys hear about that and read about it, see what's going on there?
No.
And that's a heck of a deal. It's under appeal, so Obamacare still exists. But the fact that the judge had the audacity to, you know, say that it was illegal, struck me as ignorant the deal. Especially when you talk about displacing over 119 million people that would be without health care if it wasn't for Obamacare. So,
right.
What do you guys think about that?
So that was in Texas?
Yeah, it was a federal judge in Texas. Yeah.
Okay, so it's so how does that work? So is it on a state level, the state just decides?
No, he's a federal judge.
Okay.
He's a district judge.
Yeah. Well, they can strike down all they want. People need health care, and whether it's Obamacare or Trump care or whoever care, you know, let's get the people some insurance, some medical help.
Yes.
That's what we need.
And you're right. It doesn't.
Whether it's, I don't care what it's called. It can be called affordable. It can be called high price. Obama. It could be called Ivanka care. Anything, as long as people get their health care.
Right. Well, they're making a lot of changes with the health care now. So some of those services that were allowed before are no longer allowed. So, you know, if they're going to keep the same name but change what the patients are able to receive as far as their care, then they're not getting as much care as they need.
It's enough distraction, another distraction. That's all we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all we have now, distractions. I mean, and just trying to cut through all of the let me talk about something that's serious, even more serious than the healthcare issue, and that is the content.
It can't be anything more serious than 119 million people not having health care. But go ahead.
Well, what about the 96 murders we've had in Jacksonville? And then, of course, we had we had two more shootings here recently on Friday morning, and one of those victims died. And then, of course, we had the police shootings. We had two guys, I guess, involved in some crime situation, and whatever the reason, the police had to shoot them, and they died. So I was, you know, I'm asking Jarman, what is the difference between a murder and a homicide? Well, if the police shoot you, it's not a murder. If someone else shoots you, it's a murder.
Look, I didn't say that. Don't quote it. We talked about this. Homicide means the same as a murder. You know, if the police do it, I don't know if there's a different terminology. It all depends on
intent.
Well, if
you're in the line of duty and the person is committing a crime, and you kill the person, then that's not considered a murder, right?
It's a murder. It's defined as a murder. Yes, wow. Someone who's killed.
Well, speaking of murders, we've had 28 executions in Florida since Governor Rick Scott served as governor.
Wow.
So how many? 28 executions in Florida since 2011. I believe that's when Governor Rick Scott came into office. But when you think about it, you see all the guns they're collecting at the airport. People are trying to travel.
Really? With weapons?
Yeah, they're putting the guns in the bags, and we had Florida security?
I mean, all of the security measures that are there.
Well, I know Florida is one of the states where you have the highest incident of folk trying to take guns through the airport. And most times they say, oh, I didn't know it was in there. I forgot about it. Oh, my dog put it in there. You know.
Picked up the wrong luggage, right?
Picked up the wrong luggage. But that's a crime to try to get a gun through the airport screen.
Okay, you get arrested.
You can get handcuffed, and there's a fine up to $3,900.
Okay.
If you don't get any jail time. But I guess it depends on who it is.
Or maybe right. The type of weapon.
I was going to say, I can take the fine, but I don't want to do the jail time.
Well, I'm going to leave mine at home. I'm not going to carry my gun through the airport. I'm going to try not to make that stupid decision. What?
Right. I think that's the best decision to make right there. Leave your guns at home if you're going taking a flight somewhere. You know, it'll never cease to amaze me the type of things people do that just, you know, really, really, really just say, you know, what were you thinking? You know, I can't believe that.
Well,
so that's one of those deals.
Well, guns aren't the only thing that can't be taken on the plane. Any small knives, anything that they
sharp objects
they can do it.
Why?
Right. You can't take those on the plane either.
Why would you cut somebody when you can shoot them? You know, we've had we've had over 15,000 deaths, you know, around because of guns in this country this year. 15,000. I mean, this is the wild, wild west. We can't do anything. We're not getting rid of the guns. So we can, that's just hot air. All right? The guns are here to stay.
Right. So hopefully they'll.
Yeah. And you know that the NRA has a tremendous lobby and effort, and they, you know, donate a lot of money to these politicians. And, you know, some of the places that you would think that quote unquote liberal leaning states across the United States, you know, have some of the most lax, you know, gun laws. And one of them is right here in the state of Washington. For whatever reason, well, we know what the reason is, they're getting the money from the NRA. So they, you know, there's no very few restrictions. You know, it, aside from probably some of the southern states, this is probably the most armed civilian state in the country.
Oh, the state of Florida?
No, Washington.
Okay.
State of Washington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, when we come back, let's talk about the border. Are we going to build this wall? Is Mexico going to pay for it?
Are you going to pay for it?
Who?
Our tax dollars going to pay for it?
Oh, I almost said it. No.
Oh, yeah, don't say anything.
No. Right.
Off track. Well, well, we're going to take a music break. It is the Christmas season, so we have some wonderful Christmas music for our listeners. And we thank you all for listening. If you want to call in and chime in on anything that we're discussing, the number is 296-2251. That's 296-2251. And this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Come, they told me, ba-ra-ba-ba-ba, a newborn king to see, ba-ra-ba-ba-ba. Gifts we bring, ba 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 ba, to lay before the king, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba. So we're to honor him, ba 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 ba, ba. And lamb kept time, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. I played my drum for him, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. I played my best for him, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. Oh,
All right. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host in the studio with Dr. Danford. And joining us on the line is Larry Williams. And we just want to just express our gratitude and thankfulness for the birth of Jesus Christ. This is the season where we recognize his birth, but we celebrate Christ every day as believers. So thank God for Jesus.
Yeah, Jarmin, and it's kind of strange, too, that, you know, with the in the spirit of Christmas, you know, I went into the mall the other day, and, you know, we really got mixed up on what Christmas is all about. You know, I didn't see anything relating to Jesus or God
right. In
any of these stores. All I saw was, you know, a sale here, you know, a sale there. Don't forget the children.
Just said, don't look, the children not even priority, right? The adults first, then the kids' toys, and it's not even a sale for real. You know, my daughter asked for this. That, you know, I was talking about gifts. I said, we buy gifts for kids, and they're bored with it after like 3 days. You know, my daughter asked for another dollhouse. I said, you got a dollhouse last year. We're gonna, you know, continue to play with this dollhouse. I know it didn't have the outdoor kitchen, but that's okay. You can work with the one that has the indoor kitchen.
So. Is it a black doll? Or is it
they have all kinds of ethnic dolls now. They're just not just black, white, all ethnicities. So we have some diversity in toys.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, anything to siphon some money out of your wallet. And the sad thing about it is most people are using credit. You know,
come yeah,
on, it's gonna be all next year paying. You
waiting on your income tax to pay for it.
Why do we do that? Why do we charge so many gifts? Why do we try to make people happy? Why do we go in debt?
We can make things to make people happy. Do hands on creative. It doesn't have to.
Like, you're
not spending
money. Doggone well, people aren't gonna be happy with something you make.
Oh. I would if somebody made me. I would be happy.
But you're the exception, not the rule.
Well, you see what the rich people do. I heard
they buy everything.
No, what they do? No, they rewrap the presents they get every year.
No,
they do. Who was that? Trump's.
Some folks do.
President Trump, I think they were talking about on TV.
What do they rewrap gifts from?
Yeah,
like the
and the reason they knew it was rewrapped because it had his initials on it.
You just had to go there.
Well, hey, I can't make it up, Larry. I can't make it up. But speaking, since we're talking about Christmas, I see where the folk out at the hill on Jack's Beach, that's the low-income housing development, people on Section 8, and the housing authority takes care of them. I see where we've got some gentrification going on out there. They've moved. They're in the process of moving to put people out, and they're going to build new workforce housing. And I understand that the folk that they're moving out with no money, we'll have an opportunity to reapply and come back into the new facility. If things go the way they normally go in situations like that, you're not going to be able to go back. So what you have?
Well, why not? They can apply.
Well, come on, poor people shouldn't stay live at the beach. Come on, that's you know.
Come on,
no, anybody can live anywhere.
No, you can't. I mean. Unless
it's all about you know the cost of living, the cost of housing. But Doc, you know, I think we discussed this off the air, and you know, I've seen this same scenario play out here in Seattle. Two of the low income housing complexes here were torn down basically and rebuilt, and the poor people that were living there were promised that they would have the first opportunity to, you know, get the new places when they reopened the facility. They did. They offered them they went back to each one of them. They offered it. The thing of it was is that it went from low-income housing to market rate or affordable housing.
You're talking about workforce housing.
Right. Well, workforce housing is, to me, affordable housing. People have to have a job to pay for that housing. And you know, you said the hill, those were low-income people. There's no way in the heck they're going to be able to come back in there first right of refusal or not. They won't be able to afford it.
So what's the turnaround time for them to be displaced and then to be able to come back? Is it a few months?
I want to know where they're displacing them to. The Jacksonville Housing Authority is the overseer of the Hill Dock.
Right, and I understand they will continue to own the complex, but they have a entrepreneur building this facility as well as others in the La Villa area. So we've got quite a bit of stuff coming, new stuff where we've had low income people, residing.
Well, do you think this is a question? Do you think it gives them enough time, some of those people, to go out and get a job to be able to reapply for that particular affordable housing? Just ask the question.
I'm sorry, I'm on that. Get a job.
If you want to live there, if that's the stipulation.
I heard. Listen, Larry. Go ahead, Larry.
I gotta bring this laugh under control. They gotta get a job.
You all should stop.
All right, okay, I'm ready.
So in all essence, right. that whole community will the dynamics will change.
Absolutely. Right. It's come on, the beach is the beach. I mean, it's the place to be. And
part of my naivete is that I didn't realize that the Hill was located down on the beaches to start with.
What about those other low income apartments in Northwest Quadrant? Are they going to make those, turn those into workforce housing, Larry, or something? Where is that?
Not until they implement weed and seed, and that's when they start weeding out the poor people and then driving the land and housing values down. Once they accomplish that, then that's the weeding part. Then they, folks will say, "Oh well, we need to rebuild downtown. We need to have something for the millennials to live." So, hey, let's go on and displace these people and send them out to the suburbs.
Well, and what did you say that term's called, Larry? When that happens,
weed and feed.
Weed and seed.
Is that gentrification of a city? Like I said, I think they're doing that with that.
That's the beginning of gentrification.
The beginning of it. It's a process. Yeah. Well, we can see that process taking place in Birmingham as well, where they're weeding out and taking over the inner city, rebuilding, using those old buildings that have been sitting for 30 years or more. And making them into nice lofts that are not affordable for the people who live near that community. So,
if those of us living out in the Northwest area, if you're waiting on the government and come out and save you, and that's not going to happen.
Nope, not in our lives.
Unless someone can make some money.
That's almost like John was saying. Are they going to give them time to get a job? We'll say, wait, that's not going to happen either. I'm sorry, I'm being cynical. You guys, don't take me. Don't blame it on the head, not the heart.
Yep.
Again, speaking of the Christmas season, and parents are going to make some investments maybe into their children. They can think about some of these. The technology kind of toys or learning activities, anything to do with robotics. We've talked about robotics as being one of those booming industries. People are getting into that field. And I see that Clay County, their principals went to a training to learn a little bit more about robotics so that they can share it with their teachers in order for their teachers to incorporate that into their lessons. And, robotics is great. All technology, it can teach, creativity, critical thinking skills, problem solving, even that teamwork and that communication that we see is lacking so much, not just amongst children, but even amongst adults. So,
Where was this?
In Clay County, the Clay County School District, our neighboring County.
Yeah, so, I was gonna say that sounds a little bit too creative for Duval County, but you know.
Wait. Come on, man. We've got to worry about you know, putting officers in schools. You know,
well, that's statewide, though. That's statewide. We're concerned about crime prevention everywhere.
I mean, they're talking in the. There's a panel in the paper talking about school safety law didn't go far enough. You know, this group wants to arm teachers. They continue to want to arm teachers.
Well, that's a distraction, right? Because the children need to learn. They need to be prepared for the types of careers that are in the future. Well, and they need to be able to communicate, critically think, and have something to do besides get into criminal activity or deviant activity. So we know that that's across a state as far as the crime prevention, but we also have to focus on intervening and making sure that these children are equipped and prepared.
Well, Larry, out there in California, I see where Apple is opening up a new headquarters in Austin, Texas, $1 billion investment. They're going to create 5,000 jobs. Now, these are not jobs. These are not $14, $15, $16 jobs that we got here with Amazon. I mean, that's a good thing. But apparently, Apple, they're talking about engineers. They're talking about high-tech people. You know, because out in San Francisco, Larry, the housing is, what, averaging about $1 million, so people can't afford to live there. So mm-hmm. they're moving a lot of it to Texas, where the housing is still moderate, and they can make a lot of money.
Okay.
Absolutely.
At the same time.
And you know, that's all of this is carefully calculated. A lot of businesses, and even some that aren't moving their entire headquarters are moving parts of their manufacturing down to right to work states, and that's because they can. And like Boeing has a plant in Charleston, South Carolina, of all places.
Yeah,
and instead of paying the workers $40 to $60 an hour as they do in Seattle, they can pay them $15 to $25.
Why?
And the folks there have it.
Why? Because they're country people or what?
No, it's the rule. I mean, you look at the minimum wage and so forth, and the cost of living, all those things play a factor into what salaries or hourly wages are going to be. And so when you go into these cities, even like Amazon in Seattle, their minimum wage is like, $15 to $20 an hour starting out. And I think in Jacksonville they're like $12.50. All those things play a role in making a decision where you're gonna do your manufacturing nowadays.
Well, we talk about all the jobs that are coming, but I tell you, we're losing a lot of jobs. I see where the Sears distribution center out on Imanson, wherever it is, on the north side, they're losing 450 jobs. They're closing the Sears center, and that's in the northwest area, guys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, now we're talking generational. People right. have been employed in this particular facility. I mean, I've been in Jacksonville over 30 years, and so those are high-end jobs or whatever kind of jobs, but they're gone. Mm-hmm. So whenever we announce that we have jobs coming to Jacksonville, keep in mind that we have jobs leaving and places closing.
Absolutely.
Because the Amazons and Apples, all of these tech companies, and we're shopping at home. We don't have to go to the mall. So what are these people doing?
Well, tech jobs. We just talked about how important robotics and technology is for kids to have that exposure and opportunity. So those are the jobs of the future. We're moving more towards.
We need to develop those jobs and training in Jacksonville rather than talking about drywall and some of these other seasonal jobs. So let's go to work and let's get something done.
Well, we're going to take another music break, and this is Oh Holy Night.
Oh Holy Night.
Oh Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night.
Oh, holy night, dog. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Lightner, your co-host in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford, and joining us on the line is Larry Williams, and we are back celebrating with some music. It's Christmas season, and we just want to continue to remember that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus and the love of God. So,
and told.
Really?
And to... Said,
I can't tell it.
Well, you just have to do it. You just have to show people that they need other. They need to see us, you know, celebrating it the right way.
Really,
really. We hope it has an influence.
Look, yeah, guys. This is something that I was just reading. It said, out of the country's 15 largest cities, only two were majority white in 2017.
What?
Columbus, Ohio, and guess what the other one was?
Jacksonville,
Florida.
What?
They were the only two major cities
that had a majority white population in 2017.
Okay.
Oh, we know that because, especially here in Jacksonville, we know it may be the largest population, but we know where the power is. We know where the money is. So it doesn't matter whether minorities are going to be in the majority. They're just in the majority with no money.
With no money or resources. And you're absolutely right. You know, that was taken care of, I think, 50 years ago with the consolidation. You know, that was made, you know, folks made sure that wherever, you know, wherever the population shift goes, that the people in power are still going to be the same people.
Yeah, because here in Jacksonville, with the consolidation, hey, the beaches are separate. I mean, they're with us when they want to be, but they don't have to be when they don't want to be.
Right.
That's great.
Most of the time, except when they're getting federal funding.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Well, Dr. Danford, I know that the historic Springfield, the Wells Fargo Center in Jacksonville Urban League had their Christmas party this past week. So tell us a little bit about how the event went on Thursday.
Oh, it was great. The weather was great. And I want to just send a shout out and thank all of the people that came out to support the work of the center. We're very appreciative of Wells Fargo providing the resources, both financial resources as well as space. You know, we've had over 7,000 individuals to utilize the space up at the historic Springfield Learning Center. Mm-hmm. That's on Main Street in the Springfield area. And, of course, at our social Christmas social, we recognize several of the small businesses that are in Springfield. Many of them provided their special food sources. I understand all of it was delicious. I had the shrimp and grits, so but I missed.
I figured you would go there.
Wait a minute now. Hold on.
You missed everything else, but you did get the shrimp and grits.
And we had some mini salmon croquettes.
Oh, see?
Yeah. Oh, man, they were. So
you were excited about that.
So
part.
We're excited about that. It was an opportunity to have a good time, but also to recognize the, you know, everything that we're doing.
And the local businesses.
The local businesses, right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Doc, for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with the Springfield Center, Historic Springfield Center, what's there? Is it just a space, or is it meeting space?
Well,
entrepreneurs?
Yes, it's on the second floor of the Wells Fargo Bank. So
it's off of Main Street.
Yeah,
Main Street,
Main Street
downtown.
So we have an entrepreneur center there. We provide assistance to small businesses and others, people that want to go into business, do, you know, coaching and other activities. And so, you know, this was a way to showcase a number of the businesses right there in Springfield.
And at the Entrepreneur Center, businesses can they reserve conference rooms or meeting rooms and things like that to assist them in their business growth, and so
meetings and networking, and you know, I mean, just a wide variety of use by organizations within the city.
Yes,
you know, including city entities as well.
Absolutely, and it's a great resource.
So, Doc, how long has the Jacksonville Urban League and Wells Fargo had this partnership?
We're in the seventh year. I tell you, I cannot believe how time flies. Okay, seven years.
Absolutely, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's one thing for corporate businesses to come into the community and donate some dollars and things. And for those of you that do, that's great. But when they come in and provide not only the financial support, but the resources to fund a center like this and make it work. That's awesome. Corporate responsibility and giving back to the community where it's needed. So kudos to Wells Fargo Bank and the Urban League on that partnership.
Yes, and that's something that we talk about in our first Thursday meetings, the importance of collaborations and partnerships, and that's something that we continue to push. You know, we're appreciative for the partnership between First Thursday Jacksonville and the Jacksonville Urban League. And you always say that, you know, you can't do this by yourself. You can't be an island, so you have to find like-minded people to partner with. To be able to work with, who can, you know, sharpen you. You sharpen each other, and continue to grow and do some great things for the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when we talk about our small businesses, and especially African American owned businesses, small businesses make up 90% of all jobs in America. We were just talking about Amazon and Apple and these companies, high-tech companies, but ironically, they don't make up the majority of the jobs in our society. So, you know, we need to support those small businesses. And small business owners, you know, when you have people supporting you, you know, provide good customer service. You know, that's one of the things that you know, is a pet peeve of mine.
Yes.
Is that, you know, when we have an opportunity and we're doing business, you know, it's just, you know, put a smile on your face and pretend you want to be there even if you're not.
Yes, I remember this experience. I think I told you there. Publix, you know, Publix is really known for their customer service. When you go in Publix, you know, you're going to have more than one person stop. Can I help you? Hey, how you doing today? That's just been my experience for majority of the Publix stores that I
thought they were checking to see if you had anything in your pocket.
I don't. They haven't checked me. They've just been friendly and cordial. And I went to one that was in Birmingham.
They let you eat the grapes. Were you trying the grapes when you were?
No.
Did you try them?
No, I didn't. But the one I went to in Birmingham.
Good thing they don't hold you accountable for eating grapes.
Sampling their food. But the one in Birmingham
didn't
have great customer service. I mean, we stood there for like 15, 20 minutes waiting on someone from the deli to just say something to us. And I mean, it has to be pretty bad for me to go get grabbed the managers.
On, man.
I said, no, this is not the Publix brand.
That's Alabama.
Birmingham?
It's not just, yes, Birmingham.
Okay, so come on, that's nice of you to share that story, but I'm sure that.
Where is Jeff Sessions? Isn't he from Alabama?
I'm not sure.
I don't know where he's from, but I'm glad he's not in D.C. anymore.
Well, but anyway, customer service is definitely important, and we'll have to remember to be patient in this Christmas season where everybody's out hustling and moving fast to buy things
and
running over people.
And don't be patient. Fighting over toys in the store. Hell, if they run out, just tell the kids, you know, get it next year.
Well, don't be a Grinch. Don't be a Grinch, Larry. I see where you're going. You're trying not to.
I know.
Come on now.
I
you got to pull those credit cards out, man. Come on now.
Hey,
no, Larry's not going to do it. No. He's not going to do that. He's
that.
Not going into debt either.
No, if I can't pay for it, it won't get got.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're gonna take another music break. We have our Entrepreneur Corner coming up in our next segment. That's where our small business owners can call in and talk about their services or products or any upcoming events. I'm sure there are probably some holiday events that are coming up. So call in at 296-2251, 296-2251.
And it doesn't cost you anything. So call
in,
promote your business. Come on, y'all. 296-2251.
All right, and we're going to listen to Joy to the World by Whitney Houston.
Okay.
Hey. Oh, yes.
Right on.
Joy to the World.
Let earth receive her key. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Join the triumph of
All right. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. And yes, joy to the world. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host in the studio with Dr. Danford. And joining us on the line is Larry Williams. And we are just discussing what's just going on in Jacksonville and what's going on nationally. And this is our last segment of the show, our Entrepreneur Corner, where we encourage our small businesses to call in and let us know about your services or products or any events that you have coming up. It is at no cost to you right now. So it's a great opportunity to get some exposure for your business.
Yeah, I like to hear, Larry, I like to hear from someone to tell us if they are making money or not.
Yeah, that'd be a good something to hear. I'd just like to hear from somebody that got a business. I mean, you know.
In addition to the ones that we hear from continually, we want to hear some.
Well,
we know that there's some more businesses,
Larry,
out there.
Larry, you told them they had to start paying, so they didn't.
Did say that.
They had to advertise, and so they stopped calling. They stopped calling.
They
man.
Weren't calling when there was no call. So.
hey, Doc, I'm gonna have to start paying them to call.
I got. Well, we talk about you know, exposure is being important, and as we end this year as small business owners, that's something that is important for us to grow our business, and that's to get some marketing exposure and some networking opportunities, like the one that was at in the Springfield District this past Thursday. As small business owners, we have to take advantage of those opportunities. And we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Hi, this is Terry Jones of TJ and TJ Insurance Agency. We are a family helping families have financial success as they create a budget, become debt-free, get properly insured, and have several streams of income during retirement. And what we're looking to do is to help 1,000 people save at minimum of $100 a month towards retirement, because Duval County has the highest number of senior citizens that's in poverty. So we want to help to combat that.
Wow.
And we're located at 5785 Wilson Boulevard, Suite Number 1. Mm-hmm. Our number is 904-619-5686. And we're a full-service insurance agency. We have the affordable health care, Medicare, homeowners, auto, business, pretty much every piece of the insurance industry we're involved in it.
Okay, and you mentioned that Duval County has the highest number of senior citizens who, say that again?
In poverty.
In poverty.
Within Florida, out of all of the counties, yes. Duval County, all senior citizens are suffering. Okay,
so the senior citizens, wow, I didn't know that. Had you heard about that, Doc?
Well, I don't understand what, in Duval County, everything is bad according to the statistics.
Right. As it
impacts. I mean, what is going on? I just don't get it. When you look around, I mean, it's just so much positive stuff and so much money being made and spent. And,
absolutely.
You know, and jobs moving to Jacksonville. I mean, what all these disparities, what's going on?
What they're not doing is basically seeing us in comparison to how the other states are paying their people. Because they're looking at Jacksonville like a small little country town, but Jacksonville is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're on the same level as some of these other, you know, big places that people, you know, talk about and frequent. And so they just need to come up, you know, with what they're paying here in Jacksonville, because like you said, there are plenty of jobs, but, you know, you go to get an apartment and what you're getting paid isn't in line with what they're charging for an apartment.
I agree with that.
Right.
And those people down there on the hill are really going to be out of it then.
Yes. And Terry, again, what's that phone number?
It's 904-619-5686. We really want to show people how a minimum of $100 saved into an insurance product will definitely, you know, help them to have another stream of income other than Social Security that, you know, basically you can't live off of that.
Right. Larry, you had a question?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, Terry, is your business profitable?
Yes, it is. Thank the Lord.
Okay. All right. Okay. Merry Christmas.
So, to you.
Merry Christmas.
Yes,
thank you for calling. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. Well.
It's so good to hear somebody's up on Saturday mornings marketing their business.
Yes, absolutely. And insurance is a key business. We need insurance, health insurance, life insurance. So,
and don't we also need some mental health care, developmental stuff for folks too? Isn't that what the Harvest does?
Yes. Harvest Intervention Services. We provide developmental and behavioral health care services to young children ages birth to 8 years old, and we focused on helping with challenging behaviors and some of those developmental delays, especially in a child's language. Children should be using words at a young age, around the age of 14 to 15 months. They should be understanding and being able to communicate. So we see a lot of challenges with language. So
even at that age, they're asking for Christmas presents.
They may say toy. You teach it to them, they can point to it and tell you yes. Yes, you work with them, they can give it back to you. So we go in and work with families in their homes and in the community. And if you want some more information about the services, you can visit harvestinterventions.com or call 595-6516. And we're also hiring, so check out the website for those employment opportunities.
Are you getting any good applicants? Are they hard to come by?
They're hard to come by. I mean, because it's not just about the resume. It's about the actual person, you know, the people. We're just looking for good quality people. So it's a lot of sifting through, you know, resumes and having interviews to find people that fit the mission and vision of Harvest.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's work in itself.
There you go. That's good stuff, though. You know, we need to have an idea about what we're doing, what type of business we're running, and be on top of things. And Jarman and the young lady, I think her name was Terry, see, appear to have, you know, their business, you know, structure in place that so that they can continue to grow. And, you know, it's not enough just to start a business, be able to sustain it. And, you know, we have, I have a couple of businesses, and, you know, I'm so happy that after 30-something years, we're still in business and doing our advertising, marketing, and public relations business and passing it on to the next generation.
Well, you are an anomaly.
A what?
You're African American. You're still in business after 30-something years, man. Come on.
Well, it's definitely
and plus you're international. Plus you're international.
Global.
Yeah.
it's a blessing, you know. That nothing that we do and accomplish isn't without the Lord being on our side.
Well, we need to. I tell you, we sure need a shot in the arm. We need something positive in our community. I think for 2019, we need to talk just positive stuff. We need to lift up.
Oh, that means no more homicide tracker then. You have to just do it.
But I just, yeah. But we really need, I mean, it's so much negatives and fake.
Well, there are some positives. It's just not being reported.
And hot air and lack of civility. You know, we need to make 2019 a better place for all of us. You know, we need to work together and start sharing some of the resources and opportunities. You know, we're all in it. We're in this together. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, you know, one.
Don't keep it all.
One Jacksonville.
Well, it all begins with us individually. So that's where it starts with you. You know, and the changes that you can make to be positive and share resources. So, you know, again, it starts with the individual.
Yeah, right. but one of the key things is start with the individual. But as Doc pointed out, we need to share resources, and folks that have, a lot of resources need to help us that don't have but a few. And that's all the way down the line. And I was so happy to see an article in the newspaper yesterday, I think it was, where the United Way went out to five Title I schools and took a Christmas Christmas gifts, a backpack for each child, and filled with school supplies. And so that was a good thing to see. And you know, oftentimes we talk about, Christmas and the holiday and whatever. But, you know, there are a lot of children in Jacksonville and around the country who won't even have one toy.
Right. Well, right, and that's real. Some of them don't get anything.
Right. So let's give and help those that are less fortunate. You know, I'm going to a toy drive later on today and load up my car and, you know, take it on down there, get the Maserati fired up, and, you know.